So, Lisa, I guess the reason we kind of wanted to get back together and figure out the future of the art scene is because you started hearing from people that they had different opinions, and you actually created with Misaki a survey, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the reason why we conducted the survey is, like, you know, the art scene, we already did the artist interview or like some related like contents about art, but I like to more deeply want to know how people around us think about like what's the frustration about art, not only for that point, but like, so the purpose of the survey is to clarify and specify what values we could offer.
From our perspective, we can sit and think about what people might want to know about art, and then we have people in our personal lives that we can ask questions of, but this survey was much broader than that. I think there was over 100 people, right? From different countries.
Exactly. Most of them are our friends and friends' friends, but still there are people who respond to not our friends, you know, and also it is diversified in terms of nationality or the background or age, or some of the people are artists and some of them are non-artists or Japanese, English, French speakers.
And it's funny, some of the results, it seems like it did support our main goal and ideas, but some of the things were definitely interesting to learn. So I think we wanted to focus on this episode with the frustrations people felt when it came to art and the art world. So why don't we just go ahead and get into it?
So one significant discovery, or what I really, not surprised, but I think very interesting point, is that how people have the mental blocks when engaging with art.
Mm-hmm.
It means like mental blocks, it means like time constraints. Sometimes for people, things like, I like art, but I don't have time to appreciate art, or I don't have time to, you know, go to museums or galleries. And, you know, sometimes people will think like art is too difficult, especially for like contemporary art. I don't know about anything, and I need to learn things beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Like those kind of point of view is quite, I know there exists, the mental block exists among people, but still the percentage or the most of the people that in the survey frustrated about is lack of knowledge. It's nearly 50% of people feel frustrated about lack of knowledge.
Yeah, that one, feeling like you don't have enough understanding or education to appreciate art, I can definitely relate to, because like a lot of art is taught to a lot of people as, you know, being very important works or something, you know, like something like Van Gogh's are shown to be these really masterful pieces of work that showed, you know, intricacies and this one artist's mind and how they viewed the world. And even just personally, I don't think I've ever really looked at a Van Gogh piece and felt an impact from it.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't resonate with my emotions on a way where I can feel like it's an important work. I can, through, I guess, a scholastic understanding, see that it's an important piece because it advances a technique of art, or, you know, uses colors in a way that Van Gogh's contemporaries were not. But on a personal, profound level, it just doesn't have the same impact in the way that we're almost told it's supposed to. So if you feel going into a museum like, I'm just not blown away by these pieces of art that I'm supposed to find like the most beautiful and important pieces of work, I guess I don't have enough understanding of why it's important. I can see how that sort of makes somebody discouraged and feel like they can't enjoy artwork, you know?
Yeah. And also knowledge is, you know, same as language, but like if you want to know more, you can know anything. So it's like unlimited. So knowledge means, or expertise means, like it depends on people as well. So
oh, sure.
I think, yeah.
You know, I think there are people who have dedicated their entire careers to not only mm-hmm. one artist, but to like one specific piece of art.
Exactly.
That like one painting specifically. You know, like I think that's one of the common things that we hear just, you know, general people say, especially when they go to see like the Mona Lisa. The main comment I've ever heard is, it's a lot smaller than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And that I feel resonates with the mental block kind of thing, is you think it's this monumental work that is so prized. So viewing it, you think you're supposed to have this huge like revelation and greater understanding. But, you know, I don't think this is the only reason the Mona Lisa is so popular, but it was like stolen multiple times. So it's kind of like, you yeah. know, popular and because people stole it.
People stole it, and popular because people know, people mm-hmm. like the story itself.
Right.
Not only the artwork itself.
Right. Have you ever felt like you had a mental block looking at a piece of work or going to a specific museum?
Yes or no. That means sometimes I'm overwhelmed with the explanation of the artwork too much.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's helpful, but sometimes it's discouraged me to just appreciate the artwork itself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily maybe link to lack of knowledge, but that's one of it. Like with lots of explanation or lots of, you know, audio guide, I feel like, oh, I need to know those kind of information to enjoy this art. So mm-hmm. I kind of feel frustrated about it. What about you?
I think it's similar, except a lot of the times I really enjoy having an explanation on what the art piece is meant to be, mm-hmm. what it's meant to say. And I'll give you two different examples. Maybe a couple months ago, we went to the Getty Museum.
Yeah.
And, you know, a super famous museum in Los Angeles, has a huge collection. And most of the work is from like before the Common Era up to the 1300s. And then they also have a large amount of work from the 1800s.
Okay.
And sort of like I was mentioning earlier, I can appreciate the works as being as advancing techniques or whatever.
No.
But there's very little artwork from before the 1300s, and then very, very little from the 1800s that I really feel impacted by. While it's cool to see things, like I got to see a Rembrandt, you know, Rembrandt paintings for the first time in person, understanding that before Rembrandt, light was not necessarily as considered in paintings and artwork. And then after Rembrandt, who is, you know, considered the master of lighting, of light, to then be like shifting how artists try to depict things by showing the way that light plays off of faces or scenes. That's very interesting, but I didn't live, you know, in that time period. So seeing like a piece
nobody lives.
right, exactly. There is one artist from that time period that I can relate to, Francis Goya. But that's on a whole different sort of level of the way that he created artworks so that they could be, you know, made into small prints and just like given away to people because he wanted just more people to have artwork. And then a second, you know, we went to the Broad, which is a contemporary museum, also in Los Angeles, a little bit smaller, way easier to do in one day. I remember like walking through it with some friends and they had a whole section of like Andy Warhol work.
Oh.
And even though Warhol is contemporary, pop art totally misses what I'm looking for in artwork.
Okay.
Even though it's something in the era of artwork that I'm really interested in, if this one specific style of artwork doesn't hit me, then it feels like a miss, kind of. So there's times that I feel uninspired, I guess, even though it's something that should fit the frame of artwork that I should like.
That's an interesting point, yeah. Never imagined that.
So I guess I can just relate to people feeling like they have a mental block because I think a lot of people think you need to study and you need to appreciate all of these pieces that are in a museum.
Of course, that's the way, that one of the way that you can enjoy art. But as an art scene, like I personally want to propose other way to appreciate art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So regarding the museum experience that you shared right now, like we received many people, especially from Tokyo, people not satisfied with the museum experience, mm-hmm. which means I received some comments about, oh, it's too crowded to focus on the artwork and the exhibition, especially for the famous expo.
Mm-hmm.
I will also feel like one person says like, oh, I feel like it's a factory line to mm-hmm. see the exposition. And one person says like, oh, it's annoying, people taking selfies with artwork. So yeah, what I found interesting is museum experience in general, it's less satisfactory. So I think it's potential to, you know, complement this experience.
Yeah. Can you share why is that, I guess, more of a common response from people who took the survey in Tokyo?
Well, the reason is Tokyo has a lot of temporal exhibition, whereas I don't know if it's the case for LA, but like in Paris or in London or in New York, for example, like big museums have their own collection, right?
Uh-huh.
But in Japan, of course, they have the certain amount of collection, but compared to those big cities, the number itself is very small. Mm. For example, if you go to LA or Paris, so you can enjoy permanent collection.
Mm-hmm.
Not temporary exhibition. Whereas in Japan, especially for contemporary art, there are not many museums who have the those collections. So most like popular exhibitions are mainly the ones that people brought from the European artworks.
Right.
In like 18th, 19th century, like Impressionism, etc. I think that's the reason why people rush into those exhibitions, because if you miss it, you know, you don't have any chance to see the those masterpieces.
Right.
Yeah.
It could also make it feel less fulfilling because you're...
Exactly.
You only have this specific time frame to go see it. And then if you don't have an immediate, you know, emotional impact from seeing this artwork that is apparently so important, it's only available for 1 month, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot more sense why people would feel that way. One of the final kind of main points of why people had a frustration with art was feeling like it's unapproachable.
Yeah. Do you have any examples that you feel unapproachable or as an artist point of view?
Yeah, from an artist point of view, whenever you're viewing something, especially in the contemporary art world, since it's so current, it's often experimental.
Mm-hmm.
It can feel unapproachable if you don't have, I don't think respect is the right word, but you don't have that feeling of, oh, this is so avant-garde, or this is so daring to do. Like a lot of performance pieces for me, again, I don't know, I sound like I don't really enjoy art. I promise I do, but
yeah, I know, we know.
There's a few like performance pieces throughout history, and I haven't learned of too many, but there's a few that are quite interesting to me. One of them being like Yoko Ono had a performance piece where she, I think, was like sat somewhere, but she had like just a sweater on or something like that, and like would have people come up from the audience with scissors and like cut off like a piece of her clothing or hair or something like that. And I can't remember how long it lasted, but it ended up showing how the first few people to go up were very hesitant and just, you know, kind of maybe cut the tag off of the sweater. But once more people joined in, people were like really going crazy with it. And the message of the piece being how, you know, objectification of women, once it's done on a larger scale, people tend to stop having hesitations about objectifying women. So that's a very thoughtful piece.
Profound, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I've been to art shows, and I don't know if this is something that happens in Paris, but there's this type of performance art, at least in America, that's called a noise show, where, as far as I understand, the point is to just create new noises that haven't been made.
Okay.
The way they would do that is like playing a guitar with the lid of a trash can or something, or like throwing a speaker down like while it's attached to a microphone, like just making really industrial sounding weird noises, not in a musical way, just making noise. And for me, that feels extremely unapproachable.
Thanks for the good example. It's funny.
Have you ever experienced those sorts of performance art pieces? I don't know if they're too common.
I don't usually go to the performing arts. I'm not keen on it.
Yeah.
But I think it's not only related to performing arts. Some, it could happen, you know, in paintings, pictures, sculpture, right? It really depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any other insights that on, you know, frustrations that you wanted to share?
Maybe one thing. It's, oh, I'm interested in art, but I'm not sure how to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 20% around. So like 1 out of 5 people answer this frustrated. Yeah, I think there are more people who think, oh, maybe I don't know how to enjoy it, but like at least they know how to enjoy it, but they think themselves lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Or lack of design. That's the interesting one. Yeah.
The thing that I really viewed through this survey, and especially this question, is we, you know, also started the art scene because we felt frustrations with the art world, or felt like it was unapproachable at times.
Sorry, finally, I want to share the, it's related to what you said.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to share with the comments at the point of view of artist, of the frustration. So this artist said, oh, I get frustrated when I see arrogant gallerists who don't care about the artist, and when I see people who have purchased art just for tax saving.
Yeah.
That's real, right?
Yeah, I think from the artist side, you want people to appreciate your message.
Yeah.
You know that not everybody's going to recognize it as something, but you want those people who would recognize it to see it and appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then from, you know, the art viewer side, you want to feel appreciated for seeing the artwork.
Yeah.
And the only way you can do that is if you resonate and feel comfortable in the environment where the art is available. And so that's kind of the main driver for why we want to find a way to share those stories of artists and connect them with the people that would really like to see that artwork, you know?
Yeah. And I also want to propose some cultures to, you know, just to talk about art very casually like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a good starting point to engage with art. That's the point I want to emphasize and share with you guys.
Yeah. So yeah. I think we're going to try and just keep doing these more casual conversations on things and see if there's any way to start bringing those stories in a very comfortable setting. So if anyone else has a frustration that they feel with art, the art world, or any sort of block in enjoying art, then let us know. And I guess until next time, this was The Art Scene. I'm Eric Beal.
I'm Lisa Mack. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.